Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew, Bible teacher and pastor of Grace Valley Christian Center located in Davis, California. Now here is our teacher, Pastor P.G. Matthew.
Heavenly Father, we see the devastation of sin all around us in this city. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to give life to the dead. Life everlasting. So, Lord Jesus, give life to the dead today and give comfort to the living, comfort of your presence and of your gospel. Speak to us, fear not, peace be with you. Fear not, for I have overcome the world. Fear not, because I have defeated Satan for you. I have defeated death for you. I have destroyed hell for you. Fear not, because I have died for your sins. Fear not, because I am raised from the dead for your salvation. Speak to us words of comfort that we may be saved, that we may be comforted, that in the strength of your Son, in the strength of the gospel, in the strength of the Spirit of the living God, we may go out even as Gideon, clothed with the Spirit of God, went out to do battle. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we want to speak about the ministry of St. Paul in Corinth. So the subject today is fear not. Jesus speaks that word to you and to me. Fear not. Jesus speaks to us, peace to you. Jesus speaks to us, you shall not die. Jesus tells us no one is going to attack you and to harm you. Jesus speaks to us, I am with you. Let's therefore come to the 18th chapter of Acts. And because of persecution, Paul was driven out, you remember, from Macedonia. Philippi, from Thessalonica, from Berea. And so he arrived in the intellectual city, the university city of Athens. The intellectuals of Athens could only mock the gospel. It was mere foolishness to them, to the Stoics and the Epicureans. Only few believed in Jesus Christ. And so we find St. Paul leaving Athens and arrived at Corinth, about 50 miles west of Athens. So first let's look at corrupt Corinth. Corinth was conquered by Philip II of Macedon. In 338 B.C. Then Rome conquered it in 196 B.C. And it rebelled against Rome, and therefore in 146 B.C. a general by name Lucius Mummius destroyed it. For 100 years it was in desolation. Then in 46 B.C., Julius Caesar rebuilt it. And it became a Roman colony in 44 B.C. And this Corinth became the capital of the Roman province of Achaia in 27 B.C. Now if you look at your biblical atlas, you will find it was built on an isthmus, a narrow strip of land, about 4 miles wide. This narrow strip of land connected central Greece to the north and the Peloponnesian Peninsula to the south. So Corinth controlled all traffic to the north and to the south. And not only that, Corinth had 2 ports. On the east was Cenchrea, and on the west was Lacaeum. And so all the sea traffic from the east came through Corinth, as well as from the Adriatic on the west came through Corinth. Corinth was the center of world trade. It controlled land traffic and sea traffic. And because of such control of trade, you can imagine that Corinth became extremely rich and therefore extremely licentious. A Corinthian was dramatized almost always as a drunk and sexually immoral. Corinth had a mobile population, sailors from all over the world, Roman administrative officials on the move, and also business people from all over the world came. They were always on the go, so they were looking for a good time while in Corinth. It had several temples, and the most famous, of course, was the temple of Aphrodite, Venus, love goddess, built on the Acro-Corinth, about 2,000 feet high. And there were reportedly 1,000 temple prostitutes, or in Indian language, Deva Dasis, servants of God. And these 1,000 temple prostitutes would descend to the city each evening, plying their trade to those seeking excitement. And Corinth also was the host for the Isthmian Games, which took place every 2 years. This Isthmian game was second only to the Olympian Games. Corinth was a cosmopolitan city, like Syrian Antioch. All sorts of people lived there, Greeks and Jews and Orientals and Romans and Arabs. As I said, it was a commercial center. It was the marketplace of the world. And so if you go to the marketplace of Corinth, one will find Arabian balsam, Egyptian papyrus, Phoenician dates, Libyan ivory, Babylonian carpets, Cilician goat's hair, Lycaonian wool, Phrygian slaves, and Indian spices. Nero tried to cut a canal through this isthmus, but he failed. You will see that there is a canal now, built, cut in 1893. And ships can now go from Aegean to the Adriatic, and from the Adriatic to the Aegean. Before, of course, small ships were taken overland on rollers to the other port, and large ships can only come to on this side of the isthmus, and it is unloaded and the commodity is taken overland to the ship on the other port called Lachaim. But now there is a canal. And I was there in 1967. Though Corinth was an extremely corrupt city, the thing we need to know is that God loved the Corinthians from all eternity. And so God sent his apostle from the university city of Athens to Corinth, the most corrupt, licentious city of that time. The second point we need to note is penniless Paul. Paul was without any money. Because Paul arrived there without any money, he had to look for work, manual labor. You know, St. Paul was not a lazy man. He worked all the time. Every rabbi had to learn a craft to support himself. And it was the responsibility of the father to teach his son, Jewish son, in a craft. Otherwise, he will be accused of training his son to be a thief. Paul's craft was tent making. The place he was born and grew up, Tarsus, his native city, was known for a cloth made out of goat's hair, goats that were raised in Tarsus. And this cloth was called silicium, with which people made tents and drapes and curtains and so on. And Paul learned that trade, as well as he learned to work with leather, also to make tents for travelers. In Corinth, he searched for a job. He goes to the place where they make tents. He has his own tool. He not only had the Bible, he had this tool with him. And he goes to the place where they made tents, and there, of course, he met a couple, Aquila and Priscilla from Pontus, which is on the southern side of the Black Sea. I'll be going to Pontus sometime in the fall. Now, Aquila was a Jewish person, with his wife, recently came from Rome because Claudius expelled Jewish people who were making some troubles. It may be they made some troubles because of Jesus Christ. Whatever the reason, Claudius in 49 AD expelled them, and you find Aquila and Priscilla in Corinth. It seems Aquila and Priscilla had a business in Rome and in Corinth, and as well as in Ephesus. It's a tent-making business. And Paul, therefore, worked for them and lived with them, paying for his food and lodging. Remember, Jesus, he said to the Thessalonians, if you don't work, you don't eat. I wish the politicians will learn that and change their welfare properly. And it appears that Aquila and Priscilla were Christians, probably were members of the Church of Rome, and there was a church in Rome at this time. Remember, St. Paul wrote his letter to the Romans. So Paul was no longer very lonely, but enjoyed sweet fellowship with these people. This relationship with Aquila and Priscilla lasted for all their lives. When they finally, Aquila and Priscilla, returned to Rome, and you see St. Paul sending them greeting in Romans 16, the chapter, verse 3 and 4, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me, Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. The third thing I want to point out is Paul's preaching. Paul's preaching in Corinth, this licentious, corrupt city. Paul worked daily in the trade of making tents. Though high born, highly educated, and a Roman citizen, he would not become a burden to anybody. He gloried in manual labor, and he worked daily. But on the Sabbath, as his custom was, he would preach in the synagogue in Corinth. And we know what he preached, proving from the scriptures that the Messiah, the anointed Savior, promised in the scriptures, is Jesus Christ who died and rose again. And Jesus Christ, who personally appeared to him. Jesus Christ, who also appointed him to preach the gospel to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Now, recently, a lintel to the door of the synagogue in Corinth was discovered with this inscription, Synagogue of the Hebrews. This can be dated from 1st century B.C. to 2nd century A.D. And while he was there, Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia. And when they came, he was very glad, especially to hear the good news about the church in Thessalonica, that they are doing all right, they are growing in God. His spirit was revived, and he gave himself to full-time preaching. And the reason for that, of course, is they brought some money, some gift for St. Paul, as we read in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 9. The fourth thing we need to look at is Paul's persecution. As usual, filled with envy, the unbelieving Jews opposed Paul. He was preaching in the synagogue for some time, but now they turned against St. Paul and prevented him from preaching the gospel. And also they blasphemed the Messiah that Paul preached. They would say, in effect, Paul, the Jesus whom you are preaching is not the Messiah. Paul, Jesus whom you preach did not rise from the dead. Paul, let me tell you, he was crucified because he was a blasphemer. He falsely claimed to be the Son of God and the King of Israel. Let me tell you, St. Paul, Jesus Christ was accursed. And we can prove it to you that he was accursed because he was crucified. And the Bible says anyone who is crucified is accursed. You see, the gospel was foolishness to the Athenians. And it was a stumbling block to the Jews of Corinth. They would say a crucified Jew cannot be the Messiah of the Jewish people. But Paul had to preach the gospel to the Jews first, as he tells us in Romans. Paul was their watchman, and he had a responsibility to warn them. He warned them that God's wrath is about to be poured upon all sinners. The wrath of God is being revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. But also the righteousness from God is revealed. Therefore, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you shall be saved from this wrath. that is coming. The only way of salvation is trusting in the Messiah, Jesus, who suffered the wrath of God in behalf of all who would hope in him, Jew or Gentile. But they would not believe. In fact, there was a prayer prayed by Jewish people in the first centuries. It is called 18 prayers, but the 12th prayer, a Jew was supposed to pray 3 times daily, went like this. And for the apostates, let there be no hope, and may the insolent kingdom be quickly uprooted in our days, and may the Nazarenes and the heretics perish quickly, and may they be erased from the book of life. And may they not be inscribed with the righteous. Blessed art thou, Lord, who humblest the insolent. And so, when the opposition came, Paul removed himself from them according to the Lord's own teaching. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. 2 scriptures I want to show to you, chapter 7 and verse 6. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Yes, you must preach the gospel. And those who hear will identify themselves as chosen of God or as pigs and swines in terms of their response to the word of the covenant Lord. Either they believe or they will not believe. And then a preacher must make up his mind not to keep on throwing pearls before those who will not honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Or Matthew chapter 10. Let me read from verse 11 and following. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. Shalom Aleichem. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. No more relationship. Move out. The wrath of God is abiding upon that person, upon that home. You have warned them. That's your responsibility now. Their blood is upon their own heads. You are not responsible. You have done the job. Parents, preach the gospel to your children. Regularly, you cannot save them, but declare the gospel so that you could say, now I'm not responsible, I'm clean. Your blood is upon your own heads. So he moved out. And it's interesting, he moved out next door because a Roman citizen by name Titius Justus, like the Roman Cornelius, loved the gospel and offered his house that bordered on the synagogue. He offered his house for the preaching of the gospel. So Paul used that facility. And people came to Paul's church. And you know what would happen? He generally empties the synagogue. Nobody is going there, not many. But they all are coming to Paul's church next door. And they heard the gospel gladly. Even the ruler of the synagogue, who had the responsibility for the buildings and for the services, who was a leading elder of the synagogue, even he believed the gospel and was worshiping in Paul's church next door. And not only that, the Bible says many Corinthians also believed. Licentious, wretched, morally corrupt Corinthians, but the gospel cleaned them up. The gospel, Paul says, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel can clean up anybody. See, the gospel is foolishness to the Greeks and a stumbling block to the Jews, but to those who believe, Jew or Greek, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
You have been listening to Grace and Glory Audio featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew. Join us next week for more transforming Bible teaching.